For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Hey, welcome back inside the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network studios, and say hello to Nick Morrow, the University of North Florida Athletic Director, Director of Athletics. We say him all in case he has a preference. We'll hit one of the boxes. Brent Martin, Austin Lane, Jason Hamby, and we've reached the noon hour here on a Tuesday. Are you firing away? You got any eligibility left? What do you got?
Oh, no. I was going to thank Nick for sitting around for, you know, that 10-minute fantasy football breakdown that we were doing in terms of Brock Bowers trying to come to the Jaguars. Meanwhile, he's here, like it's at the DMV or something here in Jacksonville, Brent, just waiting to get on our show here.
Take your deli ticket.
Yeah, exactly. We should have deli tickets.
That's good. Yeah.
I like that.
Order number what? You won a lot of deli tickets over the next couple of hours, don't you? For UNF Giving Day.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
These are, how many of these do you, is it one a year?
Yes, we do Giving Day once a year. And so, first off, appreciate you having me in your new digs. So just admiring that. So I didn't mind waiting because I could check out all your knickknacks.
Well, yeah, and we will not tell anybody, even though this is live, that you'll be playing Pac-Man and missing your next meeting.
That's right. Yeah.
Come on over. Hey, it's a short ride over. Anytime you need a break, I will definitely do that.
Come hang out, man.
I was just talking about how the management side of the job is very draining, so this could definitely be a nice place to come.
Everybody needs a break.
That's right. But it is Giving Day at UNF. We do it once a year. And it's actually officially started at noon. So we're just inside the official start, even though the link went live yesterday. We've already got gifts and donors rolling in. And it ends at noon tomorrow, so 24 hours straight. So givingday.unf.edu. And it has all the programs across campus that are eligible to accept donations. And, of course, athletics is prominently displayed on that website and every one of our sports. So if you have a passion for a particular sport or a particular area, or if you're like, what does Nick want? Well, I want you to give the student-athlete experience, and there's a tile there set up for that as well. And that allows us to really help out in terms of nutrition and travel and scholarships. Scholarships is a big part of it because if we maximize the 19 teams we have per NCAA rules, we would hand out, if we fully funded, we'd hand out 161.2 scholarships. We're handing out around 110 scholarships a year right now. Mm. We're 50 scholarships short from being fully funded. That changes the competitive landscape when you're not worried about the money side of it from a scholarship perspective. Obviously, that's before you get into Alston Academic Award and NIL and all that other stuff. But just having the scholarships to be able to go out there and recruit the best talent possible. And so that's a big part of what Giving Day does, is give us those resources.
Are most D1 schools fully funded or similar situation where you could have 160 something, but you might have 130 or you might have 120? I mean, how's that work at this level? I mean, I get it at the Power 5 level. You got dollars rolling in left and right.
Yeah, Power 5 level is no problem fully funded, but our level, it's pretty common not to be fully funded across the board. And it's interesting, if you look, really wanted to study the ASUN conference or a similar conference across the, you would know who invests a little bit more in scholarship and funding in certain sports.
Okay.
You know, so obviously, men's and women's golf, men's and women's tennis, beach volleyball, we're always very competitive in those sports. Whether we're nationally ranked or winning conference, we're always competitive. Well, we're in the top 25% of our conference in funding for those sports. No other sports in the top half of the conference. So yes, we still have success, but we're not sustaining it like we would if we were funding in the top half of the conference. But like Kennesaw State's really good in track. Well, guess what? They are basically fully funded in track and field. And so you can kind of tell who does really well in certain sports and based on where they choose to do their funding at.
Nick, obviously scholarships, I mean, it's the main thing, right? To get your education paid for, that is everything. You mentioned NIL as well. In terms of attracting student athletes to your university, how much of that now gets talked about in terms of possible athletes coming to your institution?
Yeah, so basketball is going through it right now. Mm-hmm. So it's where, what, year three of the portal, year mm-hmm. two with NIL and portal, where it's really come into the discussions where our basketball staff had, you know, four or five official visits last week out of the portal and just to fill in gaps that we have on our roster. And that was part of the question. You know, what do you do? What's your, actually the question they got last year, what's your total financial package? Like, it's no longer like, am I going to get a scholarship?
Oh,
it's like,
man,
what's my package?
Yeah, sure.
So they're talking about scholarship, which is your grant and aid, your tuition, room, board, books, all that, which used to be, that was it.
Yeah, of course.
Then,
that's what I got.
Then, yeah. And then cost of attendance was added back in 2019, somewhere around that time. So then you could get, depending on the school and how they calculate cost of attendance, you could get another $4,000 to $6,000 on top of that, mm-hmm. which was supposed to be used for transportation, toothbrushes, just the basic living. Then in 2021, it's really lost a lawsuit. Then you could do the Alston Academic Award. So this was actually wasn't even tied to scholarships. It's not, it doesn't count towards your scholarship limit. Walk-on can get it. A scholarship athlete can get it. Just doesn't count towards scholarship limit. And that's up to $5,980 a year. And a lot of schools, basically the way you earn that academic award is you're academically eligible the next semester. So I'm not sure, but that's how the schools have used it.
Okay.
And so now you're handing out your grant and aid plus cost of attendance plus also an academic award. And now on top of that, you do the NIL. And so the packages have continued to grow and what coaches can offer student athletes. And then we, just this past week when we had official visits, they asked, you know, what's going on with NIL? You know, and you have to have an answer for that regardless of what level you're at. And yeah. So what we've done is we've created a couple platforms. One is NoCap, which is it's a marketplace for student athletes to engage with other companies so maybe they can strike a deal with themselves. Influencer, which we take all the content we get from games, pictures, video, we upload it, and the student athletes can grab that and build up their brand.
Nice.
Then we also are moving into Influencer Plus, which actually also creates marketplaces and opportunities for them to take that brand and all work the content we're creating and then go capitalize on it. Then we just finished up Athletes Thread within the past couple months, which is a online store with all the UNS swag, but the student athlete enters into an agreement with Athletes Thread and then they can customize all that. You know, and so, you know, we can get an Austin Lane basketball jersey.
I was going to say you can have one of my Martino jerseys. That's it.
Right. And they get 12 to 15% on every jersey that's sold.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
sure.
We're presenting a lot of these opportunities. The one thing we're missing that we'll have solved by summer is a collective. Mm-hmm. You know, and so collectives, and a lot of people don't understand, like, university can't start the collective. It has to be started by a third party. Somebody from the community, some other organization has to start it. Well, then they also have to run it, which means you're entering into the agreements, you're holding them accountable for the deliverables, you're cutting payments, you're doing all the paperwork, the tax work, all that stuff has to be done by a group of people outside of the athletic department, outside of the university. And we just haven't had that yet, but there's a company out there that specializes in that and is doing it for 50-plus athletic departments across the country. And so we're actually this afternoon have another meeting with our general counsel and their general counsel just to make sure we're buttoned up. And then I anticipate us having a collective in place by the summer. And then we've checked every box in NIL world. Now we've got to fill that collective with money to be able to hand out. But even at our level, if we're coming to the table with full cost of attendance, full Austin Academic Award, and $5,000 to $10,000 a year for basketball, we're going to be very competitive at the mid-major level. And yeah. So that's my job, really, is to be able to resource our coaches to go and get the best.
Well, your job has certainly changed. The college landscape has changed. I mean, ever since the pandemic, I remember when the NIL came out, everything else. You guys really put your arms around it. I think other schools did. I think schools like Florida State did. And you had two ways to go in that initial moment. You'd be like, okay, you got to put your arms around it.
Yeah.
Or you can shun it, but you're going to be left on the outside. I think you guys were really on the forefront of that. And now even this at the mid-major level to do it.
Yeah.
It's just part of the landscape, which also makes it a very challenging landscape. I mean, it is what it is. That has not changed. It's probably very challenging for someone in your position. It's challenging for your coaches. I think it's challenging for the student athletes what to do, stay, go, transfer, this, that. And I think it's really challenging for high school kids and parents and others trying to get to that next level and play, the most challenging it's ever been. I mean, it's just – That's where it is, right? I mean, I'm reading a story from Jeff Goodman, a tweet. There have been 1,142 players enter the transfer portal in the 15 days since it opened on March 18th. That includes walk-ons. There are approximately 5,000 scholarship players in D1's men's basketball. My guess is about 1,000 have exhausted their eligibility. I'd guess that at least half of those that have eligibility remaining will wind up going portaling.
Yeah.
That's amazing. and there are no rules right now. Like we talked a couple weeks ago. Right now, there are no rules in the portal, which I had not I had not been caught up on. I thought there were still some, like, one time you can portal. No, now you can portal. If you want to go play for four different schools in 4 years, you can.
Yeah, I like how portaling's become a verb.
Yeah. I know, right?
What we're doing, right?
Yeah. It's buzzword
it
now.
It sounds way better than it is, I think.
Yeah. Webster's, you know, it'll be Webster's in no time. Yeah, it'll be an official word, portaling.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it's unbelievable. I mean, I just laid it all out, but then we know what it is, right? I mean, it's tough.
I always thought coaches are kind of crazy for doing what they do because their livelihood is dependent on 18 to 22-year-olds. And now you're the fact that they can literally leave your school at any moment just because they want to, they're asking how much money you're going to give me, how much play time am I going to be guaranteed. I mean, Saban came out not long ago and went through like 80% of his player exit interviews or meetings. Am I guaranteed play time next year? How much are you going to give me? Like, you know, that's just, so it's really tough to be a coach right now. And now with the transfer, again, it all comes down to these lawsuits and NCAA continues to lose, but the latest one is, you know, with the portal when it was started, everyone got to transfer one time, mm-hmm. and then they would have to sit out a year if they did it again.
Like the old way.
The old way. And now everybody can transfer every year if they want, you know. And so a guy, like a kid literally could go four-year school, graduate. Now, you have to get them academically eligible at every school you're going to, and there's progress towards degree and other things. But guess what? These schools are going to figure out a way to get them academically eligible.
Of course.
Like, you have a general studies degree probably at each school or at least the big schools, and so they'll take all their different credit hours and make sure they get 90 hours to going into their senior year.
Yeah.
And that way they graduate from the university. Last 25% of their degree is from that university, but they grad. But still, every year, like, you're going to turn over half your roster. You're not building a program anymore. And this is the really sad part to me about college athletics and where it's gone. Absolutely, I feel like the student athlete should have a right to earn off their name, image, likeness. Absolutely, I believe they should be able to go to another school if it didn't work out. But it's just evolved so quickly into what college athletics is not. And you know, it's mainly from the top 60 schools that turned it into a business model.
Yeah, yeah.
Us and 200 plus other schools at the Division I level before we even get into the Division II and Division III, because they're also impacted by this. But even the 200 plus Division I schools that are like us, that are the educational and the social model, you get to play the sport you love. Hopefully, you're getting a scholarship to get it. You get a degree. You get life skills. You get a built-in network. All the great things about college athletics is disappearing. It's like slipping through our fingers right now. And I hope that at least our level can hang on to that.
Nick, I spoke on this a bunch on this show, and I felt like when the NIL became a thing, you essentially made college athletics like an open market, like in society, right? And that's to say, like, hey, if you aren't happy with your job, you can go someplace else and work where you want to work, right? And that's what the transfer portal has eventually become. The difference, though, I feel like, in a lot of jobs, there's a salary of how much you make. With NIL now, there's really no cap. It's unlimited. Do you think the NCAA made a mistake? And I get hindsight's 2020, but did they make a mistake in terms of maybe you should have put a cap on it? Because now it's almost like I want to go where the most money is, as opposed to I want to go and get great education or great networking. It's show me the money.
Right. NCAA, where they made the mistake was being reactive in all this. And so they should have been allowing name, image, likeness to happen ahead of time. If you would have got ahead of that and set some rules around it and it was your idea to make it a reality, then we're probably in a different landscape. But instead, they lost a lawsuit. They keep losing these lawsuits in courts that are forcing their hand to make these decisions. And now they're too afraid to do much. Like, they can't do much. Because every time they make a ruling, every time they put guardrails around something, they lose a lawsuit and those guardrails go away, including this transfer portal. That's what just happened with the whole portal and one-time transfer is, once again, they came down on a ruling on Tennessee and some of the recruiting violations, and then they turned around and got sued by Tennessee, and then the next thing you know, whatever, you know, and to do what you want. And so it's more of a wild, wild west than ever before in terms of the number of times you can transfer, how you can transfer, what you can be offered. And in the next step now, and NCAA is working on this, the new Division I model, Project D1 is what they're calling it, and they're coming up with they're trying to get out of it now. And one of them is going to be NIL coming in-house, too. So now that starts changing things. If you decide as a university where that goes, and you can use some of your funds to do that. Now, at the end of the day, the NCAA still needs, at the federal level, a special classification for student-athletes. If they don't get a special classification from Congress, and that's really dicey to depend on federal government to give you that, but that's what they need. If not, they're going to become employees because they're going to lose more and more lawsuits. We saw the Dartmouth deal, which doesn't have an impact too much on the overall landscape, but there's one going on right now in California with USC, Pac-12, and the NCAA, all saying the lawsuits saying that they're all employers of student-athletes. How does that play out? And if something's not done by this summer, I think it's going to be too late because the government's going to turn their attention to the election this fall. And then at that point, they're not going to be focused on what a student-athlete looks like.
That's a great point. I didn't think about that.
Wow. It's amazing just how much you have to pay attention to see where these dominoes are end up falling. And we can't keep up with it. It's too much legalese, which is a very hard thing. And so, therefore, you get lost in the sauce. Let's turn it back to the University of North Florida and the Ospreys, and it's Giving Day today. And again, givingday.unf.edu, the place to go. 4,200 donors is the mission, and that's across the campus. You can go to that page, by the way. You click on athletics because it's a little bit of a competition internally, too.
Yeah.
So go to athletics, and then from there, you can make your donation to wherever you want, including whatever Nick wants, which the student-athlete experience. You have identified that. You have really tried to turn that up. A lot of things you just mentioned, what you guys have put in place, speak to that. But then there are behind-the-scenes things, like facilities, of course, for that experience, as little as shakes and nutritional things. What does the student-athlete experience look like for you, the ideal way to see it?
Yeah, we released our strategic plan about a year and a half ago for athletics, and it was all about building that holistic student-athlete experience. So we put a nutritionist into place that we didn't have before. We have a sports performer, a mental performance coach that we have in place before. We have a dedicated mental health counselor out of the counseling center at UNF dedicated to athletes. Then we've also beefed up our academic programming to give those life skills development. And so we've done all these things to really create a strong foundation support system around our student athletes, and that was really important when I took over, that we took care of that right away. And so then the NCAA literally a year later came out and said, okay, these are all the things D1 schools need to be doing. Well, guess what? We just had accomplished a bunch of them. So that was nice. Good. So what's next? And you know, for a student athlete, it's $50,000 to $70,000 a year to fully support a student athlete, from their scholarship to the cost of attendance to travel to food to equipment. And you times that by the 300 to 320 student athletes, that's a lot. And so really trying to continue to increase that, because at the end of the day, we want to win championships. So besides providing that great holistic student athlete experience and developing them, we're trying to position our teams to go after championships. Because winning is what helps bring exposure to the university in North Florida. And that's part of our job as a department, is to win, bring exposure to the university like no other department on campus can. We can drive enrollment, we can drive that student life experience, we can drive donor and alumni engagement like no one else can on campus. But you don't do that unless you're winning. And so that's really, you know, we're committed to doing those things to get the most out of our student athletes too. We want them to, you know, peak their performance capabilities. And if the more we can provide them, the better they can achieve those goals.
How do you feel about where you're at in your programs? You know, basketball, disappointing finish in the ASUN tourney, but at the same time, as I tell people, it might have been one of the best coaching jobs, I think, that has been done by Driscoll and his staff, Matthew Driscoll and his staff. He picked 11th in the league, had a lot of good moments. The place was rocking here for a lot of the year, too. And then new coach in women's basketball. You have a new coach in men's soccer. Obviously, Joe Mercadante in his first year in the spring. Softball's off to a nice start. Yeah. Track and field, beach volleyball. I mean, the list goes on and on. Men, tennis is doing very well. Golf has a couple of big ones coming up. How do you look at it? I just named almost all your sports.
You really did.
Nicely done, bro.
I think you covered it. Good job. Our spring sports are really doing well. Baseball tripped up a little bit this past weekend, but before going into the weekend, we were top two in every spring sport in our conference. So that was exciting to see how they're going to finish off going after championships. And basketball was a devastating way to win, besides just losing in overtime. But the fact that we could have been hosting a playoff game, and then you never know after that. And so that was... It took that was Probably took me a solid week to get over. That was a hard one, but yeah, we're going to rebuild. He did do a great job, and we've got a good core group coming back. We're going portaling, and we're going to go build around the core group we have, and then we'll see what happens. Chaz Lanier, one of the best players to ever come through our system. It's a shame it took him till his fourth year to really blow up the way he did, but he is tremendous. He's getting a lot of really good looks from NBA teams. He just signed with an agent, but he signed with a certified agent through the NCAA so he can come back based on the feedback he gets. So we'll see what happens there. But no, we're in a good place, and we're continuing to build and resource, and I'm just waiting for that perfect storm when everything takes off at the same time, and it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's coming.
Obviously, NCAA tournament's one you'd love to get. I mean, that's the one, right? I mean, you got to get back into that. Hopefully, I don't know about gotta, but it would be nice. Been since 2015. All the things you're trying to accomplish, just getting back into that, what's the domino effect if you guys can punch a ticket to the dance in 2025?
Right. There's no other tournament that can give you that exposure besides, obviously, the college football playoff. But based on where we compete in, nothing else can give you that exposure like the March Madness NCAA tournament. When we went in 2015, all of our revenue, all of our support elevated. It never came back down. It's plateaued, but it's never come back down to where it was pre-2015. So we can make it again. Does it go up that next big jump? And then can we capitalize on that? Because I think one of the mistakes we made back in 2015 is that we did not double down and really give the resources to the program that we should have to really take off. We kind of maintained status quo on the resource. We did a few upgrades here and there. And so that's really what I'm focused on, giving our program the most resources possible to be the best every year. Because and it's still so hard. I meant to look up the stat. Out of the 32 conferences, how many number one seeds won? I think it was definitely less than half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's so hard.
That's tricky.
It's so hard. I mean, EKU lost the number 10 seed at home.
Yeah.
Yep. USF, they lost one seed. High Point was hosting the tournament, dominated the Big South all year. They lost in the semifinal.
Well, look at the Power Five. I mean, NC State does what they did, and now they're in the Final Four.
Correct.
So, I mean, it was across the board, top to bottom.
Yeah. So, I mean, all you can do is put yourself in the best position going into that tournament, but even then, who knows? And that's what makes it the greatest tournament there is. It's crazy.
It really does. Nick Morrow, Athletic Director at the University of North Florida. It's Giving Day today, 2024. Givingday.unf.edu is the place to go, and it just ticked off at noon right here on the Action Sports Shacks 24/7 network. In fact, and it'll be open until 11:59 a.m. tomorrow. So all you got to do is go to that page, click athletics, and you can contribute to help the men's and women's programs across the university, and also maybe facilities too, which Nick has always kept an eye on and continues to enhance. If you go look at some of the facilities over there, it's a nice little walk. Softball and beach volleyball, and I know more coming to baseball soon.
More coming.
Yeah, and obviously the arena that you're looking at, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had several ADs and coaches come through and said this is the best fan experience to set up in the conference. And so really proud of that.
Thanks for stopping by. Miss Pac-Man, always available, man.
We'll be over more often for sure. Yeah.
That is Nick Morrow. We'll be back on the Brent and Austin Show.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 network.
Oh, Hamby said you can do a little baseball if you want. Was that a little nudge?
Hamby, well, what's up? What on Braves news today? What do we got?
Noontime news with Jason Hamby here. It's back. There are some interesting things going on in baseball.
Let's talk about
the Brewers are undefeated?
Yes, Brent, the Brewers are undefeated. They're playing today again. They're off yesterday.
Austin, where are you sitting right now?
In my seat. I'm sorry. I'm a bad man.
No, you don't have to move. He just moved the camera.
No, you're good.
Well,
I lost track. I'm my lean on with Nick Morrow in here. Getting my lean on a little bit.
Lean on. I like
getting
it.
Getting the lean on.
Nice job on the camera move right there, Hamby.
This song is called A Whole Lot of Money.
I need a little more.
Yeah.
Can you jack it up a little more?
Yep.
This isn't Rick Ross, is it?
That's what I was getting at, yeah.
All right.
This is good on UNF Giving Day. There,
I like that, man.
They want 1,983 donors, by the way, because athletics 40 years old, so it goes back to 1983.
This is what Brent plays when he walks in the studio every single time.
I would like this as my entrance music, please.
What you got for us, Hamby?
We're going to go your MLB snapshot in 90 seconds.
Oh, okay.
All right. Set the timer.
Here we go. All right, so well, first off, we got the Rockies displaying a little Little League baseball and letting base hits go all the way to the fence under the glove, and they lose 5-0 to the Cubbies. The Pirates, Ryan Reynolds, stays hot and always does what he does. They win 8-4 over the Nationals, and the Pirates are 5-0.
That's nuts.
I don't like it.
First time since 1982 or 3, I think it is.
I'll tell you right now, I don't like it.
It is what it
is. I wouldn't be worried about him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned.
Okay.
Mike Trout hit one about out of the stadium down there in Lone Depot Park in Miami.
473 feet.
473, which they might have shorted him a little bit.
I was going to say, it looked longer.
The Angels win 7-4 over the Marlins, and the Marlins are 0-5. Not a good start for the team down in South Beach. The Mets, they can't hit. They're 0-4. They lose 5-0 to the Tigers. Moving on.
Extra innings. I was watching that game.
The Yankees showed a little depth. Got some production from 1-9 in the lineup yesterday. They improved to 5-0 also with a 5-2 win over the Diamondbacks.
First time since 1992 the Yankees have been 5-0. Isn't that nuts? Like, the Pirates since 83 makes sense. The 92 Yankees, they haven't won more than five games in a row to start the season?
Never would have guessed that.
Yeah. The Chicago White Sox, their first base coach, decided not to make the trot out because he'd pretty much given up. So we had a delay in the Braves-White Sox game because we couldn't find our first base coach. Now, was it 6-0 at the time in the Braves' favor? Might have been. Yeah. Was he, you know, maybe getting a snack or had just been tired of putting up with it?
He was going to the bathroom, man.
So whatever the case may be. A couple rain delays later, the Braves end up winning 9-0. And last but not least, got a shout-out to the Astros, Ronel Blanco, with a no-hitter in his 8th career start. They win 10-0 over the Blue Jays, and the Astros get their first win of the season.
Sometimes, in baseball especially, you're always surprised by some numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, stats, they've been playing this game for so long, you're like, I can't believe that stat exists.
Yeah.
Well, last night I tweeted, I was like, I'm not surprised by this stat. It was the first time a manager picked up his first win with a no-hitter. In the Houston game.
How is that not surprising?
No, I said I wasn't surprised by that stat. Like, a lot of times I am surprised by stats that's in baseball that
can still be.
I like, we've been playing for so long. I wasn't surprised by that stat, Hamby.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
You misheard.
It's all good.
Misremembered, like Roger Clemens.
hold on. I'm sorry. That was the first time ever that a manager's first win was with a no-hitter.
Yeah.
That's extremely surprising to me.
Why?
That is never...
You know that you thought that would happen?
Oh, no. That's, yeah.
Okay, they're not very common.
Holy cow, the kids' corner.
Man.
The kids' corner needs some, like.
Kids' corner's doing some ayahuasca. You talked about ayahuasca earlier in this show.
Kids' corner.
Getting on that Aaron Rodgers prescription over there.
Kids' corner needs some fruit snacks.
I got some Laffy Taffy or something, man.
Fruit snacks are the best. By the way, the fruit snacks are the kids. Like, you haven't experienced this, Hamby. You probably have. Did Ronan eat fruit snacks as a kid?
Still eats them.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So, like, the kids had fruit snacks, like, all the time when they were like 2, 3. It's like, shut up, kid. Here's another fruit snack, right? And that's what you do as a parent.
Just throw some fruit snacks at them.
Welches, right? Aren't they? Yeah.
Well, you can't be Welch.
They can be. Come on, Hamby. A lot of brands out there. A lot of brands out there.
You go to, like, Costco or Sam's Club, you get whatever they give you.
Yeah, for sure.
But
all these comes in a paper bag. You don't know what's going on. I'm just kidding. All these is great. They have great fruit snacks as well. Sorry.
But anyway, fruit snacks is one of those deals that we still eat at the house.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they're not three.
I love me a good fruit snack. You kidding me?
Have one bag,
like,
though.
Yeah. How many food, like, seriously, how many, like, kid foods are like that?
Oh, like, I mean, fruit by the foots, come on. Fruit roll-ups, I'm still doing.
Yeah, but you're
I'm
not giving your two-year-old fruit by the foot.
No, you're not.
I don't think.
I mean that myself. No, probably not. No, they're still teething and stuff.
You know. Yeah. But I mean, saying seriously, like, that's going to be the one thing that you give a kid at 2 years old, 3 years old, that you still, maybe there's some cereal stuff in there. But again, you're not giving them Fruit Loops. It's too much sugar, most likely.
Applesauce.
Applesauce is a good one. That's actually a good one. But I would say fruit snacks are more prevalent in our house than applesauce, even though I really do like applesauce.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Applesauce is good, man. I'm not going to just, like, go out of my way to have, like, a little cylinder thing of applesauce, yeah. though. You know,
but I do once in a while you'll get that restaurant that throws you get this, you get your choice of side.
Yeah,
and throw
yeah.
in that little yeah. little packet of applausauce.
Where are you going? Are you going to Chuck E. Cheese? Where are you going?
Oh, that's applesauce. Like
I know, like
pork chops and applesauce.
No, I know they got them like
straight out of the Brady Bunch.
What's the place?
There's that seafood spot down on Atlantic. I went to
whatever.
A month
I can't
ago
think
that
of
had it.
What's the old country store? Cracker Barrel. There
oh,
we go.
Dude, I'll mess up Cracker Barrel.
Oh, Cracker
Barrel's
brand.
My kids do not like Cracker Barrel. We love
that's
Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, that's a red flag.
That's a tired act.
Brent, I would dive deeper into that meaning.
They literally have so many options that you can't just not.
How do you
like
not like
it?
Cracker Barrel?
I don't know.
What do they say? It's too good? Why don't they like it?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know how you can be like a human being and not like the apples alone from Cracker Barrel.
Everything
fried
is
apples.
I mean, this is now a commercial for Cracker Barrel. That's fine. But I mean, everything there is legit. Yeah.
It is. Plus,
yeah,
you can
go
play
wrong.
Checkers.
They got like and pork chops are legit.
Oh, yeah. Last time I was there, I got
chicken
two
tenders.
Two fried pork chops with mac and cheese, green beans, and a cola.
Mouth
and a couple of biscuits.
Mouth
and a couple
is watering now.
The last time I was there before that, I got country fried steak with mashed potatoes.
Hey, Cracker Barrel better start cutting the check. Honestly,
oh
this is ridiculous.
Steph likes the chicken and dumplings.
Oh chicken
got,
dumplings
I've got
are
the
good.
Pot roast.
Herschel's old
pie.
Breakfast. Oh man, old Herschel. That's what I go with.
You
I go
guys
want to
go do breakfast tomorrow?
Let's go. That's right now, man.
Oh
little
gosh.
Brunch
right now.
Little brunch.
Oh, you're talking about the grandma's
sampler? Little brunch at the barrel, Brett?
Sampler?
Little brunch at the barrel?
Two pancakes.
God. This might be a better Cracker Barrel commercial than I have done for Bucky's in the past
for free. Like, I mean,
they're
really
good. My kids are strange. They don't like
I don't know why they don't like that. That's crazy to me.
They literally have burgers and chicken.
Because you can't go wrong. Anything on the menu, you can't go wrong with.
Maybe Ty likes it. Kaylee does. I can't remember, but I don't. They don't want to ever stop there.
I'll go to Cracker Barrel today. I'll be like, "What do you want? I don't care. Whatever. It's literally. Good. I'll take whatever."
Yep. Who was the guy that the Jags brought in? He was at Cracker Barrel instead of playing recently. Is the running back from
Armstead?
No, the running back from L.A. Henderson, Darrell Henderson.
Oh yeah, what did he do?
What happened?
That was a whole story. Like okay. He was at Cracker Barrel complaining about the Jags, and he got like. Really? He didn't like it here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We'll get
that
out of here,
the
man.
Story.
You know what's cool about Cracker Barrel, too? I mean, Cracker Barrel chat now. The fact that, like, they have, like, it's like being in the Army.
Oh, yeah.
Where as many, like, years as you serve, you get stars on
the
your, on, like,
star.
Your bib.
Oh, like the waitresses and waitresses.
Yeah, the waitresses and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. We had an OG in Murray. She had like 20 stars on.
We had an OG.
20 years.
Dude, when that old
20 years?
That elderly lady walks up with 5 stars.
Come on, man. Same thing with my pub subs, man. I always go to the
elderly
ladies, man.
Lady.
They take care of you. Get a little of that boar's head on there.
If
yeah,
hear,
she knows what's up.
If you hear baby, sweetheart, or pumpkin within the first sentence,
spit
you know
facts.
You can well take care of
sugar. Sugar. Hey, put a sugar on there, too. Put a sugar on there as well.
Yep.
Thank you.
This has gone to a place I didn't know where we were going.
Hey, I'm hung. I'm starving. So is the show almost done or what?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
All right, cool. We got 10 minutes still, man. what else talking about, guys? What else we got here?
Well, Brent, did you get a fresh shave yesterday at the haircut?
I did.
You got jealous of me, didn't you?
I did.
You couldn't just let me have it, could
you? Did
you
let him shave?
I did. I did the shave thing, too. First time ever.
How'd it go? Tell us about that.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
It's a little nerve-wracking, right? Feeling that blade against the skin?
Yeah, I didn't mind any of it.
Do you go with the neck, though? Did you go with the neck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be a little nerve-wracking. Hamby, you wouldn't know because, you know, you're a child, but, like...
What are you talking about, man?
I'm saying when you have to shave...
That was the first time I've ever done it.
With a straight razor, they have to get your neck, man. You can't, like, talk or cough or anything. It can be nerve-wracking.
They had, like, the steam...
Are you the manual razor still?
Chill out.
They have this new machine. I've seen it before there, but it's like a steam... Like, you put the hot towel over your face.
Yep,
but
open
also
the pores.
Hot steam... To do whatever.
Even better.
Loosen the pores or whatever. I don't know what it is.
I don't want to snitch on anybody, but I saw one guy went in the steam room and then proceeded to shave. Because, like, I guess, like, the steam's good for your pores. And then he kind of shaved in the steam room. This is a long time ago, but shaved in the steam room. Hmm. Kind of gross, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Not sanitary by any means?
Not good.
No. Uh-uh. No. I should have snitched on him.
I should have snitched. One last thing on baseball. I saw Moneyball last night.
Yeah, this is wild to me, by the way.
Like, and, well, I told you guys, like, first of all, I feel like I've seen I do this a lot with movies, where I've seen a lot of the movie in snippets for whatever reason.
Okay.
But last night I'm thinking, they're watching, I'm like, yeah, I've seen Moneyball. Of course I've seen Moneyball. And I'm like, no, I don't remember seeing this part. Like, I don't really think I've seen Moneyball front to back.
So unreal to me.
And I think there are a lot of movies like this for me that I feel like I've seen or seen so much of or heard so much about that I feel like I watch it front to back. But it's got nothing to do with me watching the movie. What I found fascinating about that in retrospect, and I knew everything about Moneyball, is really how quick the Red Sox did win the World Series once they hired Bill James.
Bill James, man.
And Bean turned that job down. But they did adopt that. But for the next 20 years of baseball, they said, don't steal bases, don't bunt. The metrics all mattered. They did change the game. Like, we know that, right? The Moneyball changed the game into this analytic way. And even the hefty payroll teams adopted it. The Houston Astros have built, I think, their dynasty, basically, on a lot of it. But so that was like a 20-year run for what the Oakland A's did in early 2000s to where it went. And then last year, baseball said, this ain't entertaining enough. Like, what you guys figured out might work from a winning standpoint, but it doesn't work from an entertainment standpoint. We're getting rid of the shift. We're bringing the bunt back a little bit. We're bringing the steal really back a lot of it, including increasing bases and stuff like that.
Watch a Brewers game. So many steals.
But isn't that wild to think that the Moneyball deal for 20 years was the way to do it and changed it analytically? Everything was a big part of it. And then Major League Baseball really said, you guys have made our game boring. And they changed it. So there's still, obviously analytics still a big part of it. But now they've incorporated and maybe met in a nice area where you can build a team and find undervalued players, but you're also going to play the game the way it was intended to be played 100 years ago and mix in with today's modern game. I just found that fascinating after watching that back.
No, it's it is kind of wild when you think about it how – and it's not like a conspiracy, but like, yeah, the league essentially said, nuh-uh. All right, that was fun. It's a good story to tell. It'll make a good movie with Brad Pitt one day, but we ain't doing this anymore. Shut it down. And honestly, man, like the same thing's going to kind of happen in hockey a little bit. Like back in, I think it was 95, the New Jersey Devils won the Stanley Cup. And it was argued as the most boring team of all time because it was literally just, it was all about defense, no offensive scoring. And then NHL said, let's make the goals bigger. Let's make the goalie pads smaller. Let's, change in terms of the red line. Let's change some rules with that. And all of a sudden you got to be, a lot higher scoring of games. NFL, you can say the same thing a little bit where you guys want to run the football?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Nah, man. Let's go ahead and make every penalty possible if you touch a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Touchdowns. Fantastic. It's kind of crazy how the leagues work. Well, that's what they do, Brent.
But I guess overall, I'm glad you brought up those other examples because you're right. And at the end of the day, I think we're very critical of commissioners and leagues and oversight in general, right? I mean, I think in all walks of life, maybe in your own business, whatever, oversight. That's why a lot of people work for themselves. They don't like the oversight. But our first reaction is, that sucks.
Yeah.
What I'm stunned with baseball is that guy has made a lot of bad moves and bad decisions and has no clue how to market and make his baseball stars transcendent. Like, he's got a lot of things wrong. Manfred, who I'm talking about.
Yep.
There are a lot of missteps. But they got, like, every damn rule that they put into the game, they kind of got right last year.
Yeah. He deserves a lot of credit for what he did last year, especially with pitch clock. Cutting down the time of games 25 minutes a pop. Like, that's a big deal for that average fan who feels like there's a lot of standing around and mound visits and all that stuff and limiting those. And even with pitch calm wasn't really a thing 3 years ago. Now we're not doing any signs, manually with any of that. We're doing pitch comm, and it's totally changed the game. There's so much now, even more head games between pitcher and hitter than there were a couple years ago. And not necessarily more, maybe, but different ways.
Yeah, based on time now,
based
more
off
than anything.
Of time
and
pitch and all this stuff.
And base runners in that sense, right? Because that's always been a thing. You could 100%. You could control the game. Really, a pitcher could control the game. Now, a pitcher can't really control the game much because of the clock. But, I mean, think about it in the NFL, like what we talk about all the time. I said this before the owners' meetings. Right now, what are we complaining about in the NFL? Like, they have got the product to a situation where it's pretty damn good. It's pretty entertaining. Now, can you complain about roughing the passer penalty? Yes. But you know what I always say is I still think some complaining points are worth it because it brings attention to the sport, polarization to the sport, debate on shows like ours to the sport. And so I think you want some element of that.
What's a catch? That's a big one. That's been a big one.
A football move.
And by the way, you also have this, in all our sports right now, you have this old school mentality, traditionalist, versus this new wave, Hamby's age or whatever else. And it's like you're morphing too. So they're battling each other a little bit. And I just think, I think the NFL has a right. So do they have to do this kickoff thing? No. But guess what? When we talked to Leon Washington, when we evaluated this kickoff rule, I'm fired up for it. Well, I shouldn't say fired up, but I'm intrigued by it.
I mean, two things. T. Higgins coming to the Jaguars and the squib kick. I can't wait till these two things come to fruition, and I'm just going to laugh and gloat my little heart out for the next year.
I just think overall, when the NHL changes stuff, when the NBA changes stuff, and by the way, the NBA did this too. They allowed a little bit more softer zone defense where they used to call those illegal defenses, and they promoted more scoring in the game. Yeah. Look at where the scoring is right now. Now, some of that's the three-point line and everything else, but still, NCAA has made some rules to make it more entertaining. The scoring's up in the NCAA. So overall, where we actually, I think, at times badmouth the oversight and say, what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing this? Right? We debate about it. If you really look at a lot of the sports, what they've done to change things have made it at least more entertaining and probably better. They were right to make the moves. And maybe we shouldn't discount it as much because they do have a lot of research that shows this is the way to go. This isn't just a flippant decision.
yeah.
They're dissecting this stuff.
I'm with you.
So
it still baffles me that you haven't seen Moneyball in entirety. That'd be like saying, hey, guys, I got a good football topic. Should we be running a little more of the Wishbone? I saw this movie, Remember the Titans, last. You guys heard of this movie? Remember the Titans? Well, Denzel Washington, you guys heard of that movie?
Well, hey.
That's where we're at now with Moneyball.
Listen, if I'm going to be in Moneyball and that guy's going to say no more bunting, I'm not watching the damn movie.
That's a good point. I'm surprised you. Yeah, that's a good point. They do have that conversation.
That's a problem.
Yeah,
we have a problem. All right. Hope you have a good rest of your Tuesday, everybody. Back at it tomorrow. Remember, UNF Giving Day is today. Good to have Nick Morrow stop by and talk some college athletics and also about the University of North Florida Ospreys. You can catch us on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 network any time of day, actionnewsjacks.com or Action News Jacks app.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.